Hi, this is Zach Holbrook, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Astrogon Zelo.
And this is Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And this is episode 59 of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast. Welcome back, Jay. I haven't heard
59,
from you in a
while. We're almost the big 6-0.
Well, that's like way over the hill. That's when you start to get AARP, isn't it?
I guess. Is that double AA? Is that AARP? Maybe we need to go to the scooter store. I don't know. Hey, man, you know what? It's been a long time since you and I have done a show together.
I know. I was kind of looking forward to this.
Yeah, it feels good.
Reunited.
Uh-oh, now singing. We're going to call kinds of comments now. Hey, this Neverwinter Nights podcast, we've got coming up. The winner of the 2007 Neverwinter Nights Module of the Year goes to Harp and Chrysanthemum by, ooh, Zach Holbrook.
That's Meriden.
Meriden, yeah. Easy for you to say. You can't say Chrysanthemum. I can't say Meridun or whatever it is.
Yeah, we got that coming up later in the show, right?
Yep.
Hey, the Academy of Modding Excellence has announced the 2007 nominations for the recognition and content categories of NWN1.
Now, is it just exclusive Neverwinter Nights to one, or are there some Neverwinter Nights 2 things in there as well?
Well, they've already announced those. They announced those
finishing up with Neverwinter Nights 1.
This is finishing up Neverwinter Nights 1. They also concluded announcing the sound and music finalists.
Anything interesting in those categories?
Oh, dude, guess who was as a finalist in the community contribution nominations?
I don't know who.
We are!
We are awesome.
So NWN podcast, and I feel really privileged to be.
Yeah, that's a great honor. I'm not
to be in there with the NeverwinterConnection.com website as well, or that whole that whole scheduling of events and games. Just to be mentioned with them is hey, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, just that we even got nominated makes me feel good that we're looked at as that we've actually accomplished one of our goals, which was giving back to the community. So I think that's awesome. So I appreciate the nomination.
Yeah, I was cruising around on the vault Monday night when I was putting together these notes.
Which is different from being locked in a vault, right?
Yeah, I was cruising around it. I wasn't
okay.
In it.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? A new NWN2 expansion pack has been announced.
Ah, now this is probably, do you remember several episodes ago, we got our hands on some financial forecasting stuff from Atari that I mentioned, a second expansion pack, but it hadn't been named yet?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that now.
Could this be it?
I think this might be it.
Because it was targeted for this year.
So I guess the vault confirmed that it was truly real from Matthew Rory, which we had on the show a couple episodes ago with Rob McGinnis, but Atari Europe has published news of the new expansion pack. And it's going to be called Neverwinter Nights 2 Storm of Zaheer. I say that right? Oh.
Sounds good to me. I'm sure if it's wrong, we'll be corrected.
Anyway, I guess the Spanish website, Neverwintros, got the scoop on that.
I will make sure we get that in the show notes so people can learn a new language.
And also in some other interesting news, Neverwinter Connections, I think they're reviving, and they have actually officially announced dates for the Neverwinter Con 4, which is going to be a gathering of everything Neverwinter on September 26th to the 28th of this year. Have you heard about that, Jay?
You and I were talking about that a little bit at lunch today, and I'm still not really sure what everything is and what exactly this event is. I'm sure there's people that have been around the community a little longer than we have, because I think the last time they had one of these has been several years ago.
So
do we know
any
experts that might be able to come in and help us understand this a little better?
Actually, I think we do. We actually have somebody lurking in the wings tonight. one of our new stand-in hosts for Michelle, Skunkeen, is here. Welcome, Skunkeen.
Hello, mates.
How's it going?
Going good. Keen, a.k.a. Skunk. Skunkalicious.
There you go. Oh. I'm glad you said it, because if you hadn't, I was going to.
I told Michelle I'm not going to call you that.
Okay, so fill us in, Skunk. What's the lowdown on NeverwinterCon 4?
Well, NeverWinter Connections 4 is pretty much an in-game social room event and also a IRC chat room where we have a lot of guest visitors there. There's been prizes for participation in the previous ones, and they've had a lot of the BioWare staff pay visits, and this year they're most likely going to try to obtain some of the Obsidian members.
So it's kind of a virtual online in-game conference. Is that kind of what you would say?
Mm-hmm. With a massive variety of different things to showcase, from pretty much from custom builders to scripters to player contests, DM sessions, and DM trainings. And so they're going to have like quite a variety. The organizer of it is Carvon from the Neverwinter Connections.
So I've been to a lot of technical conferences. Matter of fact, I just got back from a tech ed in Orlando, Florida, here in the States. And they lay out all of their stuff by, you know, tracks, and certain rooms have certain speakers presenting on certain things at certain times, and you can go to those tracks. Is it kind of organized like that, or is it more open?
It will be pretty well organized. They have fellows for both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, IRC and in-game gatherings that will have chat organizers pretty much organizing the people that will be doing speakings and whatnot. They're still trying to gather up a variety of more and more sessions. I'll go to what they have so far. You can find out information on their current status at the Neverwinter Connections website forum.
All right, we'll make sure we get the link in the show for that so everyone can check that out.
And if you have anything you feel you could contribute to the Neverwinter Nights Convention 4, go ahead and comment in the forums there, and the organizers will contact you right back.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Do they have a list of what they're still needing to help organize it, or are they pretty well got everything in line?
No, they need some help with public relations and more advertising. They still need to collect a lot of prizes.
I was going to say, we're already doing the advertising. Everyone get ready for it. It's September 26th through the 28th. But no, we'll definitely get in contact with them and see if we can lend a hand in any form or fashion that we would be able to help them out. We'd love to.
It'd be cool if we could have a couple of them on the show, like Carvon and...
Well, let's put that on our list. We got till September. Let's see if we can't organize that, too. That'll help promote it.
I could probably kidnap those fellows with a couple of pirates and bring them in here.
Arrgh!
I'll set out the grog.
All right, that'd be great. I don't know what they're getting for prizes. If Obsidian and BioWare can't do much, I was thinking of stealing their office plants and desk ornaments and giving those away as prizes.
Well, now that we're talking about, and that's great, I think we got a good information there. And again, we're going to have the show notes. We'll have a link in it to the actual online information on Neverwinter Connections. But there's been some discussions going on in our forums, and I guess in the community in general, about the IRC connections, or IRC servers over at Neverwinter Connections. What's going on with those guys?
I believe I was one of the first people to report that to one of the websites, any of the news websites. Yeah, there's, I guess lately, Neverwinter Nights, Neverwinter Connections IRC channels have been having some problems, so there's a more stable IRC channel that a lot of the game developers are going to, and community builders. That is the Source 2. I'll get up their website.
IRC.NWN2Source.net is the IRC server. That's the new one that they've started up, right?
Yeah, a lot of the community chat rooms seem to be moving over to that one lately.
Okay. And so if you get a chance, go out there and check that out. I'm going to start keeping a channel open on my laptop for the podcast. So if you see us out there, stop in and chat. Also, I got an email from Carlos One over at the DMFI, the Dungeon Master Friendly Initiative.
Yep.
And he sent us an update via email. He said, hey, podcast gang, old and new. He said, with a bit of luck, the DM101 for NWN2 tutorial package will be out soon, maybe as early as June 15th. And he goes on to say it'll hopefully do for NWN2 what DMFI 101, so you want to be a DM, did for Neverwhere Nights 1. Plus, the DMFI is going to include a starter adventure mod in the package for new DMs to cut their teeth on.
Well, that's awesome. I know that I messed with the So You Want to Be a DM, and I could see very easily how that was, you know, it really explained a lot of that stuff to me. I never have DM since then, but it was a great module for walking you through how to control things from the DM client. It was really good.
Yeah, so thanks, Carlos, for sending that to us. We love it when people send us little news items either via email or in our forums. And
yeah, how interesting is that? We were just talking about that today, that we were going to say we would love it if you guys are, you know, interested in following a topic or a scripting functionality or area designer or something like that. But if you're on a team and want to send us email about when stuff's going to release like Carlos One does, that's awesome, because we can't cover the community ourselves. It's too big. It's just daunting. The quality and size of the community is just outrageous. So if you got that going on, you can send it to us and let us know. Also, we were talking about if you're just a player that is really interested in what somebody does in a module and knows that they're going to release something and want to give us a heads up so that we can let the masses know, that would be great too. Think of yourself as a field reporter, and we'll let you have the option if you want to mention who sent it in or who didn't. So help us out there, because I think there's a lot of good stuff going on that we get missed because it's just too big for us to cover.
So now check out Michelle. She interrogates, interviews interviews the NWN2 2007 Vault Winner of the Year, Zach Holbrook.
Hi, this is Michelle, and tonight we have Zach Holbrook, 2007 Mod of the Year winner, with his creation of Harp and Chrysanthemum, also known as Agency for short. How are you tonight, Zach?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, except for the heat. It's hot here. So if my mind slips a little bit, I'll blame it on the heat.
Okay, well, it's cold here in New York, so I'll blame it on the dampness and the cold.
All right, well, we were 80 degrees today.
Yeah, we were, I don't know what we were, but for springtime it's kind of cold.
I know that you have done this show before, and we have gone through this a few times, but for anybody who may be new listeners, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I, until very recently, was a grad student, and might actually be going back to the whole grad student thing next year. I started modding about a year and a half ago. And before Harp and Chrysanthemum, I was working on a project called Mysteries of the Moonsea, which fell by the wayside. And I also put up a short mod, for Obsidian's mod contest called The Birthday.
But you were one of the winners.
Yes, I was. So, if you want, you should check out that mod too, if you liked Harp and Chrysanthemum.
And we'll have both of those links to his modules on the show. Okay, this question is by me, and okay. I'm going to ask the fan base question. How did it feel to win Mod of the Year?
Well, it felt very good. very flattering. I was very excited. I guess I just don't know what else to say to that except, you know, thank you all of those of you who voted for me.
A lot of people have played your module, and it raced out of the starting gate I mean, boom, you loaded it, and it was crazy. People were downloading and commenting and voting like crazy really quick.
Well, it was definitely a gratifying result because, you know, it took a good, 8 months to do, so it feels good to get that kind of feedback right away from something that you've invested a lot of time in.
I did read a comment from a community member, and I cannot remember who it is, and I do apologize if you recognize your quote. Someone said, "Can modules be art?" And you were mentioned and said that your module was true art. The eloquent writing, the setup, the design area designs, everything. And you were truly quoted as putting true art into a module. So you definitely deserved your win.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I don't know if it's actually art. I feel like I'm still pretty amateurish if it is. But, you know, I think video games in general are heading in that direction. So... I think it's definitely a good sign that people are talking about mods in that kind of way.
I do too. And I'm going to ad lib a question here really quick, and I wanted to. Well, actually, it's not a question; it's a comment. I did take questions and topics from the community. Those of you who participated in asking questions for the Mod of the Year winner, I thank you very much, and I will mention each person as I read the questions. Question asked by Kate Gambit from ThievesGuild.net, and he's actually got a few of them here. Where did the idea for the module originate?
Well, at the very beginning, it was just the seed of an idea. I wanted to do something in a little-known part of the Forgotten Realms. And, you know, I'd just come off of the birthday, and so I liked the whole small town idea. And I also knew that I wanted to have a paladin of Suni. That was pretty much it at the very beginning. And then I came up with the title, and that kind of weirdly guided me into creating the story. So it really wasn't, I didn't take a walk and like have a flash of inspiration and know everything that I was going to do right then. So it kind of developed, but those things were the things that contributed to that development.
Another question by Kay Gambit: were there things that you wanted to do but couldn't because of limitations of the toolset?
Yes, definitely. Actually, a lot of people have complained about the ending. There are a few complaints about the ending, but one of them is that the battle at the end is kind of an anticlimax. You know, you get these two armies together, and you want war. You want all-out war, and you want to be the hero of the war. Actually, that was my kind of idea, too, and there were going to be not only the Zents, and the Risen Sun. Sorry, spoilers. Zents and the Risen Sun, but there were also going to be the Harpers. They were going to show up too. However, this turned out to be an absolute swampy, bogged down nightmare. Even with just the two factions of the Risen Sun and the Zents, it was impossible to play. I tried to dumb down everybody's AI so it wouldn't be such a load on the processors, but it still was impossible. So I thought, oh no, you know, how am I going to do this? And so I did what I did. People have reacted to that in different ways, but that was definitely a limitation. I wanted a kind of big battle scene there, and I couldn't really do it.
With this also from Kay Gambit, he was a very curious person. when designing your module, did you encounter any problems, and if you did, how did you solve them?
Well, I guess that was one design problem. I opted to go a different route, which was, I guess, like kind of, you know, you go to a different plane, there are these fire elementals and they have these allegorical names. And so I kind of wanted to put, I guess, that kind of spin on the ending. As far as other design problems, Let me think. Well, besides the normal stuff, you know, like the tool set crashing, not being able to really make tons of areas because of the fact that area design takes so long. You know, not anything particular to this mod, but those things are always issues that any modder has to deal with.
I would like to mention really quick, backtracking a little, I liked the ending because it told me that there was more to come. You could tell. It finalized one area and it went into the whole walking through the paths in the mountain, and you could just tell there's more to come. And I liked how it ended.
Yeah, I liked the walk through the woods thing. I was let down by the battle thing though. I really did want to do more with that. Well, thank you though for for liking the ending.
Well, I don't know if you've played Mask the Betrayer yet, but the battle with Uku and all of his helpers out there, I understand what you're talking about, because, I mean, I have a pretty high-performance computer, and wow, that dragged me down horribly.
Yeah, yeah. And with that battle in particular, I don't know. I mean, I think that there were lots of spirits around that weren't participating until certain points, mm-hmm. and I think that they had to do that simply because it was impossible, I mean, for me at least, in Harp and Chrysanthemum, to have everybody fighting at once. It was just a nightmare.
And you add spell effects, and that really...
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
my computer's not, you know, top of the line, but it's not a clunker either, so...
Right. All right, also by Kay Gambit, what, if any, are the biggest obstacles for the modding community in general?
I think the biggest obstacle is just that modding is so labor and time intensive. I wasn't a part of the Neverwinter Nights 1 community, but I know that in comparison, Neverwinter Nights 2 mods take a lot longer to develop. You know, the payoff is that you get better graphics and that kind of thing. But it really does take a long time to do. So I mean, hands down, that's what I would say is the biggest obstacle.
Okay, I've heard that also by several of the modders who've especially made the transition between Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, obviously I wouldn't go back. I mean, not that I was ever there, but I wouldn't go back. I mean, because of what the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset offers.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really tough. You know, especially, you know, people are doing other things, so, you know, they have their jobs and they have their lives, and it's difficult.
Okay, this question is by Dalek, who also is a modder. What kind of organizing, both in-game and out-of-game, do you use, if any, scripts, naming, and such? I know the
naming
question.
What's that?
I said, I know about your naming.
My naming. As far as the kind of organizational language that I use for tags and that kind of thing, it's pretty generic, I do have a kind of system, but it's nothing that I would, you know, advertise to others as being especially useful. I one of the things I do, which I think is really helpful, as far as tracking down bugs is concerned, is just having a notebook full of bugs, even really, really tiny things. When I'm playing through, I write them down, and then it's so satisfying to go into the tool set and fix it and then cross it off, if you're lucky, because sometimes, you know, you cross it off in the tool set and then you go back and it's still there or it's taken some other horrible shape. But that's one of my, I guess, organizing techniques.
I have a question, if you don't mind me avid living this. I noticed when a modder builds and tests and then gives it to somebody else to alpha or beta test, and that other person has a bug that the modder originally never had, how do you address something like that?
You cry.
Okay.
Well, it's really frustrating because systems are different, you know, and... if you've gone through the game a million times, you're like, how did that even happen? I don't believe it. But, of course, you have to. You try to get as much information as you can. You get screenshots and whatever, and then you try to figure out what's wrong. Sometimes, I mean, there are still problems with H&C that I have no idea what on earth is causing them. But more than one person, you know, has the problem. I have just never had it myself, which is extremely frustrating. You know, I'd much rather have a problem that I can reproduce and that happens all the time than one that doesn't happen that often. So, or at all to me. So that's definitely a frustrating thing about modding.
Okay, the key to fixing it is cry.
Yeah. Yeah, so back to that. Yeah, that's what we're
Okay, this question is by Elvin Rogue, also a modder. Do you choose themes for your modules at the beginning, or do you let them just grow again organically?
As far as themes go, I kind of knew thematically where the direction of this mod was going. You know, I wanted a Paladin of Suni, and I kind of wanted love to be, you know, the age old theme of love to be this mod's dominant theme. I don't know how successfully it turned out, but that was something that I definitely chose beforehand, and kind of in a way an organizing principle for me, because it helped me, you know, figure out what quests to do and you know, motivations for characters and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
This question is by, you know, I'm going to completely butcher this name, and it's only four letters, K-N-A-S. I can assume that the K may be silent.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's two consonants that just don't jive together, so. Naz, maybe? I'm not sure. I do apologize. I'm sure they'll correct me. Where do you go for inspiration?
I try to draw inspiration from lots of different things. Reading, daily life even. A lot of my inspiration does come from literature just because I've studied it a lot. But, movies too. All different sorts of places. And of course other games, you know, I guess that's the big one that I've totally forgot to mention. Other games too. In fact, right now I've been playing Medieval 2 Total War, which has captivated me. And I think that, I'm going to try something. Well, I was in Bronze Dot, I was going to try something anyway with a lot more courtly diplomacy and that kind of thing. But this has really clinched it for me. So kind of high politics. Is interesting me right now as far as game design goes.
Ooh, that sounds like where I can like throw that diplomacy in real nicely.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite skills.
It's a great skill.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic.
In the fantasy world and in the real world.
Oh, absolutely. I have a question. I know that you took a 2-week hiatus to take a break and do other things and get your head clear and all that. How's Bronze Daughter doing otherwise?
Bronze Daughter is taking the break with me.
I kind of figured.
Yeah. I haven't heard much from her over the last 2 weeks. She's been pretty quiet. I've checked in on her a few times. Brought her some broth and stale bread, she'll survive, I hope.
Are you all inspired? Are you about ready to get back into digging into the tool set again?
Yeah, well, you know, it's summer's coming, so that means that there will be plenty of time to spend indoors.
Was that sarcasm?
No, I mean I intend to come back to Bronze Daughter, but I'm trying to take as much time as I need before I do, because burnout is not something that you want to have happen.
No.
So,
Not to mention, I think you'd get a lynch mob if you just dropped it altogether.
No, I'm not going to drop it. I'm definitely not going to drop it. But.
Well, Zach, I thank you very much for the interview tonight. It was fantastic, as always. And I applaud you for winning Mod of the Year.
Thank you very much.
That was great.
And we're back.
Trey, I see that someone started a introduction thread out on our forums.
Yeah, we actually got a new listener, Striker B. He got on and said, well, I couldn't find an introduce yourself section here in your forum, so I thought I'd just start one here. And he goes,
Very rightly said that we didn't have one. That's an oversight on our part, so thanks for pointing that out.
I got to thinking, you know, when we first started the podcast, we were thinking that, you know, everybody had microphones and headsets, and that they would call in on Skype and leave us messages and hellos and introductions and things like that. But as it turns out, not too many people have microphones. So that's probably why we didn't have an introduce yourself section, or we probably didn't even think of it.
Yeah.
So
for whatever reason,
we have one now.
Exactly.
So everybody get out there, old and new listeners, and introduce yourselves.
Who's next week? Who's next show? Who's going to be on the next show?
And so next week, we're most likely going to have our interview that I got to do with Barry Everso and Throbblefoot and the Community Expansion Pack team. They're members of the Community Expansion Pack team. And I got to corner them and got to interview them about CEP 2.0 and 2.1 and what's coming out in the future. And so stay tuned for that next week. Or if something works out, we might have a special surprise next week.
Until next week,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.